Fuse Box.
May I say right off the top, Mr. Keynes, that it is one snappy-looking Hawaiian print shirt you're sporting today. It matches your bloodshot, kaleidoscope, counterclockwise spinning eyes very nicely.
Oh, man. Rough night last night, bro. But the show must go on, right? Folks, this is... Wait a minute, what? Oh, shit. A fuse box 269 stupidity tariff. And you might just find yourself stuck with the bill again.
And sadly, they don't take checks, credit cards, crypto, or chickens in trade. Because nobody rides for free.
What is this? What are you... Why are you coming in here?
I'm sorry, you'll have to come with us, sir.
What are you talking about? Get your hands off! This is a huge disgrace!
Come with us, sir.
Stop it! I'll sue you!
Come with us, sir.
Hey! Dad! Do you know who I am?
Yes, we know.
You can't just... Ow! Get your hands off! Hey! Wait! Aren't you guys from ICE? Stop it!
No, I'm sorry, you'll have to come with us.
Hey, I got rights, you know.
Very well aware of it, sir. Come with us.
Habeas plural. Do corpuses. Emails. Obama is an alien space cannibal. Benghazi.
Well, welcome in, friends, to this, the 269th edition of Fusebox, realistically titled Stupidity Tariff. And I'm your fiscally responsible, but only when they're looking, host, Mark Rose, and over there, from over here, the autocrat of audio bean counting, the archbishop of the audometer, and... the overlord of overindulgence, him very own self, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Yeah, feels like a bobcat just shit in my mouth. I'd say never again, but we both know that'd be a damn lie. and speaking of liars, now I don't know about the price of eggs, but the price of being pals with a pedophile just went way, way up.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, friends, in addition to all the other positively upside-down things going on out there right now, the Jeffrey Epstein files reemerge center stage, driving a scandalous wedge in Congress while splintering MAGAnoids everywhere and causing outright war between the factions within the Republican Party.
Dude, the crap's hit the fan so damn bad, they actually shut everything down early and just freaking left.
All to avoid voting on releasing the Epstein files to the public. Well, sir, that ain't gonna work. They'll all be back in September, and those stinky little files will still be there waiting.
So will many members of Congress interest, as well as the general public's. You know what GOP stands for now? Guardians of Pedophiles.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, they can run, but they can't hide. Because this story is not going away, folks. Sorry. Maggots.
Yeah, the DOJ had something like, oh, I don't know, 1,000 agents combing through all the files looking for any and all mentions of the pedophile in chief.
Of which they found multiple references, of course.
Oh, yeah, for damn sure. Now, in all fairness, just because Donnie Bag of Dicks is mentioned... Now, it doesn't mean there was any association between that fat, sweaty, orange turd and a convicted sex trafficker. Right?
Well, be that as it is, even though it shouldn't, We've got a nice blend of stuff and crap and such on this here edition of the show, like another juicy installment of A Grindhouse Minute, where our buddy 42nd Street Pete talks about a film from 1971 that has that kind of title. You know. One that fills me with absolute joy.
Something like Revenge of the Son of the Curse of the Return of the Astro Cannibals? Of Death?
Yes, but no, my green-grilled, possibly still inebriated friend. Beast of the Yellow Night is the title, and Pete will tell us all about it.
I assume you've probably seen this one 9 or 37 times, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Have a copy right upstairs.
Of course you do.
Also, we'll deliver some good news happening out there to balance out all the horrid stuff, friends, including a remarkable share by a most generous chap of one of the bits we created for the last show. And when we return, if I may indulge myself, sir.
By all means. But, just don't get any of it on the mic.
I hear Johnny Winter used to do that during a final mix. Yeah. When we return, a slight rant.
Will we need tarps and a hose?
None of that messy do-it-yourself stuff for me.
Big news, friends. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine is back. With a vengeance.
Over 140 pages of deliriously demented and historically accurate info on this wondrously whacked period of cinema. This issue features an article by Pete Chiarella on three blaxploitation films that no one ever talks about. And he tells you why. And along that same topic, Bill Karschmidt discusses two of the genre's finest offerings ever produced. Then, John Satzer lifts the creaking lid on another obscurity, Impulse, from 1974, starring William Shatner as a maniacal killer con man. Yeah, not to be missed. And there's just so much more. Head on over to 42ndStreetPete.net and pick up a copy. This one is bursting at the seams with goodness, so get them while they're still in stock. That's 42ndStreetPete.net.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Welcome back, friends. Okay, now, if I may take just a moment to effuse a bit on a phenomena I've noticed of late. And I don't know if it's just lazy marketing or perhaps an attempt to be creatively vague. Now, I'm not going to mention the product company here because I actually do like the company, and use many of their products. But for dog's sake, if you're going to describe a product, please, 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 don't be overly or clumsily clever.
What you talking about, Willis?
All right. Let me explain. So this product, and I can safely tell you, it's a soap, one of those three-in-one types of products, you know, hair, body wash, face, the works. Okay, so this company makes a lot of variations of these products. They're renowned for their numerous versions, and many are quite good. Like I say, I actually use a lot of them. Lately, however, I've noticed a very frustrating pattern. Descriptions of what the products actually smell like has started to become vague.
Well, since I'm stuck here, by all means, please, do tell.
Well, before, they were describing the fragrance as having, you know, hints of pine or cinnamon or ginger, you know, this, just simple descriptions like that.
Okay.
Now we get this very description, and I quote, "Smells like a brisk chill that feels like you're witnessing something out of this world," or borrowing their flannel for a hike in the woods. Or this gem, the warm, comforting feeling of doing what's right.
What the feckin' huck?
Right? I mean, in one case, after purchasing one of these vaguely described items, it actually smelled like a cross between an old restroom urinal cake and a wet dog.
Oh, man. Well, did you return it?
Yes. Yes, I did. It was, in another descriptive word, vomitrocious. My point is, please, if you want to be a clever copywriter, at some point, please offer the actual fragrance notes, okay? I don't really care if you think it smells like a blindfolded walk into oncoming traffic. Just tell me what it smells like in plain language. Thank you.
Feel better now?
And speaking of things that stink, the orange outhouse, in his constant effort to grift the American people, has yet again come up with another money grab of a stupid idea. A fragrance.
A fragrance? Seriously? Well, what exactly does pedophilia smell like anyway? Or maybe it smells like a well-used prison mattress.
Perhaps it smells like fear with a hint of shame. Anyway, brave reporting by Alicia Haradasani Gupta from the New York Times tells us Trump himself made an announcement via Truth Social that, quote, Trump fragrances are here. They're called Victory 4547 because they're all about winning, strength, and success.
Huh. Is that what fascism really smells like?
We're told that the limited edition fragrances for men and women come in 3.3-ounce bottles topped with a golden statuette of Trump with his autograph displayed on the base. Each bottle costs... Ready for this?
No. But go ahead and lay it on me.
Each bottle will run you 250 smackaroonies.
Holy mackerel.
Which is more than similarly sized luxury scents from the likes of folks like Dior, whose signature Sauvage costs $165, or Chanel's iconic Number 5, which goes for $110 retail.
Blinded by his own Nazi stench.
Well, not surprisingly, the Trump Fragrances website is scant on other specifics, like where the products are manufactured or what the actual ingredients are. And, not surprisingly, representatives from the licensing business did not respond to requests from the New York Times for comment. The individual product pages say that the scents are in stock and that they will ship immediately.
Oh, we're blowing them out, folks.
So what does Trump fragrance actually smell like? Well, the site says the Men's Victory 4547 blends rich masculine notes, while the women's version offers a sophisticated, subtly feminine scent. What exactly does masculinity and femininity smell like? Or what does winning even smell like?
In Trump world? Well, I guess masculinity smells like sexual assault with a hint of entitlement. And femininity smells like objectification with strong notes of subjugation.
Elena Nijevic, editor and co-founder of the fragrance forum Fragrantica, who got her hands on the product, wrote in a review that the men's cologne is, quote, inoffensive, rather quiet, office safe, with hints of cardamom and an amber woody finish. And of the women's perfume, Miss Nijevic said, it smells like vanilla and gardenia with a light gourmand strawberry touch that is overall likable and general, but not at all bad.
Sure. If you like the smell of racism, ignorance, and bigotry.
The orange guy is, of course, already familiar with the world of celebrity fragrance, having released a line called Success in 2012, and in a GQ article which referred to him as a, quote, scent enthusiast. Trump was asked to elaborate on just what success actually smells like, and he said, well, I can't say sweetness. I can't say flowery. I would say it has a good scent.
What the genuine
All right, let me square this up with a delightful thing that happened earlier this month after the release of our last show.
Yeah, that would be Fusebox 268, Snollygoster, for those of you playing along at home.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And in that Fusebox episode, we showcased another spoken word piece from Jodie Lorimer called King Lear, in which a performance of the Shakespeare play of the same name was populated by the current brain-addled regime in Washington.
You can find that bit at thefuseboxshow.com/new-news, in case you might have missed it, folks.
Well, come to find out that Robert Reich, yes, friends, that Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor during the Clinton administration and podcast host of The Coffee Klatch on YouTube, well, he got a hold of that bit, dug it, and shared it with his 1.2 million subscribers.
And you all can link to Robert Reich's show in the show notes, too.
You are so show fastidious, Mr. Keynes. Well done. Well done indeed, sir.
The fog is lifting. Sort of.
Okay. So we very much appreciate that, Mr. Reich, and I hope those who took him up on his suggestion to push play enjoyed Jodie Lorimer's King Lear as much as we did in producing it. Yes. Cheers and onward.
Hello. I'm here to bring you the good news.
And keeping those good vibes a-coming, friends, we've got a few really good things happening around the globe to impart, and much of this material is sourced from a blog called Fix the News that amasses positive efforts from all over the world. So, speaking of clean air, the EU air pollution has plummeted, smashing clean air pledges early. A new report shows that since 1990, the EU27 has slashed sulfur dioxide by 95%, nitrogen oxides by 66%, ammonia by 36%, and fine particle pollution by 41%, overshooting all targets agreed to way back in 2016, and already 16% ahead of the tougher 2030 target. The remaining frontier? Cutting farm ammonia and smoke from wood-burning heaters.
And cleaning all that MAGA stench out of the world, too.
A worthy goal indeed. And one that is just over the horizon, my hair of the dog imbibing friend.
Don't judge me.
So, working remotely takes on a whole new meaning here. Remote robotics let a surgeon in the United States operate in Angola, 7,000 miles away. From Orlando, Florida, urologist Vip Patel removed a prostate tumor in Luanda, Angola via a robotic console, completing the world's longest distance telesurgery and Africa's first. The trial kept latency below 200 milliseconds, showing high bandwidth links can deliver specialist cancer care to undersupplied regions. Angola, by the way, has one of the continent's highest prostate cancer death rates.
Score one for Florida.
Sure, if we must. And here's some grand critter news, friends. Giant river otters, Coco and Nima, return to Argentina's Ibirá wetlands after 40 years. Rewilding Argentina has released the pair and their two pups into the Ibirá Park, restoring a keystone predator once hunted to national extinction. The otter family's comeback is the first modern reintroduction of the species anywhere on the planet.
You know, I bet you we got a couple of Japanese pocket squirrels around here that would cheer that recent development.
Reintroduction! Yay!
And this is huge news, friends. For the first time, the International Court of Justice has declared that a safe climate is a human right and a legal duty. In a landmark advisory opinion supported by 130 nations, the court says every state must curb domestic and corporate emissions, aid vulnerable countries and hit the 1.5 centigrade target, or face legal breaches and damages. The world's top court resoundingly rejected arguments made by Australia, the United States, China, and Saudi Arabia, who all sought to justify continued fossil fuel extraction. Instead, the ICJ assigned, quote, heightened responsibility to historical polluters, arming lawyers worldwide with potent ammunition for future climate cases, sparked, by the way, by Pacific Island students. It's the most significant climate decision ever issued by a court.
Bravo! Bravo!
And lastly here, you may be particularly interested in this item, Mr. Kent.
My sphincter is all a flutter in moist anticipation.
You. Anyway, in a new study, scientists have uncovered evidence that magic mushrooms just might be an effective anti-aging treatment.
Oh, hell, bro. What's the going rate by the ton? Do they take Visa?
Published in the Nature Partnering Journal Aging, a new paper by researchers at Emory and Baylor's medical school suggests that psilocybin, the active compound in psychedelic mushrooms, might extend the lifespan of both mice and, potentially, humans. The two-part study tested medium-sized doses of psilocybin on older mice and later introduced similar amounts of the compound to human cells to see how it affected their telomeres, which shorten, evidently, as organisms grow older and are viewed as a hallmark of aging. In both mice and human cells, half of which were fetal lung cells, the other half from adult skin, the introduction of psilocybin was linked to preserved telomere length. In other words, the study appears to show that telomeres shortened more slowly after being given psilocybin than they would have without, and that mushrooms may increase cellular lifespan. In addition to the telomere findings, the researchers also noted that psilocybin-treated mice showed increased survival skills and had improvements in overall fur quality, which may suggest further anti-aging properties as well.
And they could fly while doing long division. Right? Maybe? Nope.
According to Louise Hecker, a Baylor medical and cardiovascular researcher and the senior author of the paper, she and her colleagues were compelled to look into the potential lifespan-enhancing effects of psilocybin because, for the most part, it hasn't really been studied directly. Quoting here, "The overwhelming majority of what we know about psilocybin is how it impacts the brain," Hecker said. "Our findings suggest that psilocybin has potent effects on the entire body, including anti-aging properties, which also may contribute to the plethora of observed beneficial clinical outcomes." In addition, some previous research has suggested that psychedelic drugs could be linked to positive health outcomes. A study in 2021, for instance, found that people who used hallucinogenic drugs, including psilocybin, LSD, and mescaline, had a lower risk of developing heart disease and diabetes. Some other studies suggest that people who have periodically used psychedelics recreationally are less likely to be overweight or obese.
Yeah, because they're too stoned to eat.
While Hecker's colleague and paper co-author Kosuke Kato urged caution when establishing a causal link between shrooms and increased lifespan, he pointed to the results in the aged mice as perhaps the most important part of the research. Quoting here, "This is a very exciting and clinically relevant finding that suggests that even when psychedelic intervention is initiated late in life, it can have dramatic impacts," Kato said in a press release. And Hecker says that psilocybin may represent a disruptive agent that promotes healthy aging. The next steps need to explore the therapeutic effects across multiple age-related diseases.
Oh, I totally agree. So, how do I sign up for a copy of the home treatment kit?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're that far along in their studies yet, but good news there on treatment possibilities. I have seen evidence of the effectiveness in those who suffered from PTS, for sure.
Seriously?
Well, of course. I lived in Florida, remember?
Ah, yeah, of course.
We regret to inform you that your health insurance policy does not cover you in case of illness. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Alrighty, friends, our buddy Pete has one of those gems from the 70s that just rings all the bells.
My bells got all rung out last night.
Clearly. So, take it away, Pete.
When the evil in a man has so rotted away his soul that even death cannot bring him release, he suffers the cruelest curse ever placed upon mortal man by the host of darkness. He becomes the Beast of the Yellow Night.
What happened to his face?
Mangled beyond recognition in an industrial accident.
He returned from the dead to possess the body, the life, and the woman of another.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
After Eddie Romero and John Ashley stopped doing the Blood Island stuff, they went to work for Roger Corman. And there was a film put out called Beast of the Yellow Night. Now, of course, me thinking this is another Blood Island movie, which it isn't. Actually, this is a really cerebral film for Eddie Romero because it starts off with this GI rapist murderer scumbag played by John Ashley, who is running through the woods with the soldiers hot on his heel because he's a deserter, too. And he's basically dying and he falls in front of a tree and you look up in the tree and there's a semi-naked Vic Diaz, something we really don't want to see. But trust me, this is important. Vic is the devil. Okay, and basically he buys Ashley's souls for a bag of rotting meat. So Ashley is basically his slave and goes on doing all this weird shit. And it starts at a grave site where basically Vic is standing there with a suit on. And if anybody ever thought that Vic couldn't act, get that out of your head because he acts his ass off in this fucking thing. He gets a new assignment. This other guy supposedly died and was deformed, but he comes back. They pull the bandages off him and it's John Ashley. Well, when he hooks up with this guy's wife, all of a sudden he starts to change and he becomes this fucked up creature that basically rips people apart and eats them. So while the locals are chasing him, he goes into this warehouse or something and he finds this old guy who was a bandit, who was another murderer, and he basically wants to save Ashley's soul, but he can't. So there's some more stuff where Ashley basically gets himself locked up in jail and Vic appears as a prison guard and tells him, you're not getting out of this, this and that and the other thing. So when we get to the climatic thing, it's basically that the ex-bandit is trying to lead him to safety, but gets killed by the soldiers. And he makes him believe at the end, when he makes him believe, he becomes mortal again. And then one of the captains, played by Eddie Garcia, who's a regular in this film, blows him away. Then you hear Vic's voice saying something, well, he can be replaced, I can get another one. This was thrown out on a double bill by New World, and they picked up The Creature with the Blue Hand from Sam Sherman, Independent International, and thrown in as a co-feature with Klaus Kinski playing two twin brothers, one who's crazy. So it was really a good double bill. And like I said, you know, Vic really shows off his acting chops in this. And again, this is still available. It might be out by VCI, but definitely worth the look. That's our Grindhouse Minute for today.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
You know, I remember the exact same thing happening to me.
Transformed you into a hairy beast that ate people's faces?
No. I thought this was going to be one of those Blood Island films, you know, in the series, because it was made by the same folks. But it actually turned out to be something completely new. And as 42nd Street Pete said there, not at all bad. It even has a moral to it.
Never saw this one, of course.
Well, you know, there was frequent nudity in these films, Milt.
What was that title again? Oh, Asking for a Friend.
And on that beastly yellow night of a note, we shall call it a show. But, of course, not before thanking our contributors, 42nd Street Pete, Aaron Lane, and Gregory Wilson. Thanks, as always, to the Emperor of EQ, Milt Keynes, for impeccable technical assistance and for not puking on the board.
Well, it wasn't easy, let me tell you. Jesus. folks, don't be shy. Come join all the other smart and sexy people over on the Fusebox Patreon page. It really helps us out over here with the old beer budget.
Along with legal fees. As you know, friends, things are getting weird out there, so come on over to the Fusebox Patreon side. You'll get free swag, exclusive content, and a great big tariff-free thank you from us here at Fusebox.
That's patreon.com/thefusebox show.
Also, be sure to get yourself some spiffy cool Fusebox gear at the Fusebox store located at thefuseboxshow.com, because what in all the wide, weird world could be better for back-to-school shopping than a genuine Fusebox whiskey mug or Fusebox church flask for the kiddies, yeah? And yes, but also, thanks to the grimy, greasy good folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued goodwill, and thanks to you, friends, for pushing play once again. We're very grateful for your valuable ear time. I have been your ever-expanding but still smaller in your rear-view mirror host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
You know, I still can't find my pants from last night, bro.
Fusebox.